from now on for this week, it's intense preparation for Passover.
Going to sleep out.
Passover for us now is different than any Passover we've thus done. Passover for us now is to be redeemed or excised, if you will, from the constraints of time, so that within you and each one of us as a vessel, for you the mystery of the bride is completed within you and time is no more. So that you are finally and for once freed from the bondage of time. It's impossible to live in time as a mindset and no grace. Therefore, if your thought processes are still subject to the passage of time, you know you're in deception. No matter what it is, you're deceived. Now this will come against and be the final instrument of the destruction of all idolatry within you, because there is no idol that can withstand that test. We have year after year, we have moved towards inexorably this Passover. The fruit of the Passover will be that you will be able to say with Christ that you no longer are subject to the Gentile mind. So, as with John, he can truly say to you, you are strong. The Word of God abideth continually in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Everything in your being, from this point forward, should be directed towards that hastening or that looking forward to. There's an interesting test. Christ said, those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Therefore, if in your thought processes, if in your exhortations to each other, you are exhorting someone to move in the direction of something, or exhorting yourself to move in the direction of something that's highly esteemed among men, you know you're deceived. You understand? The arena that is most highly esteemed among men has to do with your or the men's or the Gentiles' definition of love. You must know by now that the Gentiles' definition of love is an abomination unto God. The Gentiles' definition of love, from a spiritual standpoint, is pure neuroses. Passover has a way of destroying certain things. The plagues have a way of sneaking up on you.
Yeah.
Tyra and I had, we redeemed the time, and so we celebrated yesterday was the 28th of March.
Oh, I forgot.
Well, that was our anniversary. So we,
1 year?
1 year.
Meeting each other.
Yeah. So anyway, we were planning on having a very wonderful anniversary of 1 year, except God intervened.
We almost broke up.
The night before, all hell broke loose.
Friday night?
Yeah.
22nd.
But all hell broke loose in relationship and in regard to the definition of love. Mm-hmm. And I told her then that these things were happening to us so that we could save Louie and Beth from some heartache, save maybe others from some heartache.
Amen.
But I had to, Tyra, as you well, maybe you don't know, but I think is probably at least the most beautiful girl I've ever dated in all ways. And a weird thing began to take place over the last few weeks, and that is that I was no longer sexually attracted to her. Now, we still haven't done it, but we play around. But there was a thing that had begun to take place that I was no longer attracted to her. I still loved her. I still felt very close, probably closer than I ever did. But there was no sexual excitement with regard to our relationship, or my relationship. And it, obviously, when I said that, all kinds of hell broke loose between Tyra and I. And I felt inadequate, I felt weird, I felt weird is a good way of saying it. And then I started, in the course of talking about it, I started thinking and talking at the same time. And it struck me that what we had been doing, and what both of us had been doing in the course of our relationship, is wanting what the Gentiles want. And I began to think, and every relationship I've ever had, and every relationship that I know any of you have ever had after the flesh, dies. Eventually, between Louis and Beth, between Gary and Judy, between all the other couples that are going together and married couples, you begin to find the other person sexually boring. Now, you'll never admit it, and what you do instead of it is to fantasize and create all kinds of emotions and ideas in your mind. But the fact remains that all of our relationships after the flesh are subject to an inexorable law of God called entropy. It dies. Now maybe some of you, that's not going to happen. Or it hasn't happened. Then you are the chosen one, because you'll be the only one out of 5 billion people for whom that won't happen. Now what do you do when it happens? What do you do when you start being bored with the person you're with? Not bored in terms of emotionally or anything else, but there's something that takes place at a hormonal level that is no longer real. Well, you go through all kinds of machinations internally. That's the first thing you do. And if the other partner finds out about it, you go through all kinds of justifications. Yeah. Am I talking to anybody, or is it just...
Just
me?
You need to talk about it, go right ahead. Perhaps some of them need to hear.
But there is nothing that will kill that which God has appointed quicker than the mental games that you play to increase excitement. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, what in the hell does all this have to do with Passover? Well, what it has to do is that we can no longer afford to have anything to do with any part of the Gentile mind. No matter how cruel what I'm about to say sounds, if this isn't our lot, then we're fooling ourselves. Those of you who are married, those of you who are dating, you're doing it for one reason. You all know this. To show forth the mystery. To be able to lay down your life, to talk, to open it up, to let people know, to suffer things so somebody else doesn't have to suffer them. But mostly to expose. Mostly to be so vulnerable that it's more vulnerable than you've ever in your entire life dreamed of being. But I guarantee you that until you're able to look at your mate or your potential mate and see them as your neighbor, that everything will die. You started out the process having the mind of a Gentile. There was something that attracted you. Now, the reason you did that is because we no longer live in the tribal society in which your marriages are arranged and your relationships are arranged. So we automatically start the game, start the process behind. In other words, we're automatically playing Chinese baseball from God's standpoint the instant we begin to start a relationship with someone. We are automatically playing in the wrong ballpark. We're in the wrong game. And then we're surprised when you can't win the game. I mean, you're playing the wrong game. You're trying to score touchdowns in basketball. I'm going to say the only way that you can be assured of knowing that your partner in marriage or in your relationship is your neighbor is that if you can look around the room and see the other members of the opposite sex equally as your neighbor. You understand? So that the right of kinship redemption would always be manifested, and to be able to do it without preference, without being a respecter of persons. You understand?
No, I just lost me.
What's okay, kinship? That means the right of kinship is the reason that you're here. It's the right of the redemption of the nearest kin. It's what happened with Ruth. That's what happened with Christ redeeming the bride, on and on and on. It means that if the husband dies, the next of kin is the one that is responsible for marrying her. Now, I'm serious. If you cannot look around this room at each member of the opposite sex and see them as neighbors, and therefore, and your nearest of kin with regard to the rights of kinship, then you are playing the wrong game in your relationship, whichever one it is. Do you understand me? This is wild. This isn't a small thing. This is what will set you apart from all other people.
Well, I'm not sure. Is the reverse of this, if I'm in a relationship with somebody and if I can't see the other female members of the body the same, that it means that I'm locked into a Gentile halo mindset effect, special wonderful thing about that?
Right.
Okay. No. I'm deluded.
You're deluded. And that delusion will produce the fruit of destruction. In other words, you will be sowing to the flesh, and of the flesh you will reap corruption. You will be deceived upon deceived, especially with regard to your expectations of your partner, if you continue to play that game. Do you understand? Butch? You really understand?
Well, what I'm hearing you're saying, I've experienced it with every girl I've fallen in love with, is where you... It's like an infatuation, total infatuation, and then you ride the magical stuff.
Yeah, fails.
I know that, yeah.
But again, what's the alternative? The alternative is this thing that we're talking about, the rite of kinship, redemption. Otherwise, your mind will continue to desire the same things that the Gentile mind does.
Okay. We've talked about this, where it doesn't matter who you married. If you had married somebody else,
I know,
it would still
but
be for a...
I'm personalizing it. I want you to look around.
Oh, I have a question here. Okay. I couldn't make A and B add to C with the example you used, but what you're saying is that the inability to see the kinship redemption is a proof of the Gentile mind, which can't survive here. It's not that there's... Okay, I'm sorry. I finally made the equations balance.
You understand?
It doesn't survive anymore, though.
Yeah, but it's the place that it's most severe, the most severe deception is in what you think of as love or relationships. Mm-hmm. That's the most intense, severe of all, it's most subtle of all deception.
The thing that you're talking about you know, the what Harry said about the halo and, you know, all the neat stuff like that, there's a flip side to that coin, you know, where when you're talking about settles in, and all of a sudden you really want to be almost anywhere else but with whoever you're married to. I've been through that with Darlene before, you know, where I'd be much happier to talk to anyone else in order to avoid this thing that was going on. And the place of stability is, you know, neither above nor lesser is this place you're talking about.
And it's, yeah. and it's
respective persons in terms of romance.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
And to be a respecter of persons in terms of romance is evil. If you're a respecter of persons, you're subject to the whole law. You can't even be a respecter of persons and with respect to romance. You understand?
Yeah.
Everything else, everybody's life in this room proves its stupidity.
You know, I can feel Ed's reaction. I've got the same reaction. That's a freeing thing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Why didn't we
yeah.
say this years ago? That's not a good thing. That's
yeah,
losing
great.
A negative thing, because I know at least he and I have all these
freedom, yeah.
bullshit romantic ideas that are...
Well, here's what Tyra had done. Tyra knew the negative ones of all the other people, but she saw me now. I was the one that was going to make it perfect.
What a delusion.
Well,
I didn't really think
not perfect, but you didn't think that it would fall.
The current one, we always feel like the current one will never end. I mean, that's
yeah.
part of the...
But what I'm saying... Well, you didn't respond
what?
Like that.
Yeah, but that was me.
Okay, but the reason, and I told Tyra when this happened, the reason this happened was for Beth and Louis' sake.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you're at a point now where there's fear, where there's, oh my God, what am I doing? Oh my God, what if this feeling doesn't last? Oh my God, it isn't lasting.
And then there's Louis.
And so there is a neurosis that has been visible in every relationship in this room that I've watched.
Amen.
You start out lovey-dovey, you can't stand to be 2 seconds away from each other, always touchy-touchy, feely-feely, and pretty soon, whap! You're sitting across the room from each other, you don't care if you ever touch them or not, you don't even... You know, the idea of making love, you have to fantasize and create images in your mind. You don't need to go through that game. You don't need to be insecure about your relationship. You don't need to be insecure about whether or not you're going to find the right person. Or whether that person is the right one. Or whether you're going to be able to measure up to their standards. Or whether they can measure to your standards. Or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It is a ball game that you no longer have to play in.
Amen.
And it needs to be revenged with instant obedience.
Yeah.
And the games that some of the marriages in here are playing still need to stop instantly. Now the test of being redeemed from the time is very, very evil. Because as Gary found out, he hasn't been worshiping Jesus Christ, he's been worshiping Tammuz. Because Tammuz is the god of resurrection in every society, and whose resurrection is dependent on the passage of time. And this is going to be seen more clearly in your relationships with the loved ones than in any other arena, because you will secretly believe tomorrow is going to get better or yesterday was better, instead of seeing the resurrection now without regard to sensory perception.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now for those of you without mates and no hope of getting one, this is total freedom. For those of you with mates, it's total freedom. It's exodus. It's participating in the exodus from the Gentile mind with regard to your romance and love and feelings and on and on and on. But it's the ultimate test with regard to the seeing that you have been redeemed from the necessity for the passage of time. That in you, the mystery of the bride has been completed. Time is no more. Now you can experience grace. But more than that, now you are prepared to minister, because in that moment that you see time is no more, as tested in your relationships, God, the moment that scene is completed, time is no more, God gives you the keys to the kingdom.
What I was thinking about that idea of what we do is invest a person with some kind of thing, and it creates a false risk we feel if we want to be vulnerable. In other words, we risk destroying a false image that we have, and so we don't. It makes us not want to open up, and then we go into our minds and begin to, you know, instead of seeing everybody as a neighbor, we see everybody else in that same aura, and we go after them in lust or whatever, you know, whatever. It reverses the whole process in your mind.
With a human being to whom we can say thou art worthy.
And it's the most evil of all things, because it's literally the worship of Tammuz. It's weaving hangings for the grove.
Don Boone said something about this one night. Jan was telling me about it, that Paula was going through the deal about whether she was special and all this. And he said, well, if you were out of the picture, I'd probably remarry Jan. And if Jan was out of the picture, I'd probably marry Cheryl. It was like he just went down the, you know, list and said, you know, well, if this one was gone, I'd marry this one. And, you know, it was like the sisters.
But each one of you have to look around and see that same thing in here, in you. Now, I don't mean to look around and say, and start being another excuse for playing fantasy games. I'm saying look around and see that each one in here of the opposite sex is your neighbor, including your spouse or your loved one. And don't no longer be a respecter of persons in that arena. You'll be deceived. It'll cause all the ground you've gained to be given back to the evil one.
Amen.
Now this is wild stuff.
Yeah. I spent so much of my life, you know, treating women differently because I got my validation from women. And so it's like,
what happens when you do see a mate versus a neighbor?
Well, then it's the axe is laid to the root of the tree of all of the sensual imagery and
the weird fantasies.
Well, it's the expectations is the thing. It's the axe is laid to the root of the tree of expectations. And so that you don't, you know, aren't you guys tired of gaining your identity or the other person gaining their identity from how you feel or don't feel?
Yeah.
There can be no ministering when that takes place. There can be no life. There can only be walking, as John from John's song, tiptoeing through the rules and laws, walking through the eggshells, trying not to break another little egg. This one's marked, you know, I mean, it's just sick. Now, some of you don't want to let this imagery go. You can't. You're incapable of it. Well, if you're incapable of that, you will leave here, I promise you. I don't care how long you've been here. If you cannot leave this one go, you will leave. And God will turn you over to your own worst fears. You will, if you can go through this process, you will never again either feel the need to or be in a position where you can be oppressed into justifying yourself with regard to your relationship. Do you understand? Jesus said, "You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God." There is no more deadening thing in a relationship than the propensity or the oppression or the conning into either the need to justify yourself or trying to make someone else justify themselves to you. It deadens. It's instant death. Because at that instant, you no longer see that person as your neighbor. You see him as someone to manipulate. And what you do at that instant is you eat the flesh of that person or permit your flesh to be eaten as opposed to gaining your exclusive sustenance from the bread of life. If I ever see one of you oppress the other like I've seen up to this point, Katie, bar the door. Now you have no more cloak for your sin. If I ever see one of you cause the other person to justify themselves, or you mealy-mouth yourself into a position of oppression by desiring to be oppressed and justifying yourself to them, look out. Some of you are going to have to begin from ground zero because you've never done anything else in your relationship. Your whole relationship has been based on trusting and oppression. Manipulating and conning. No more. Never again. At least never again within my earshot. I've got big ears. All the law is fulfilled in this one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Wow.
What?
I'm getting excited about this.
Oh, the propensity or the possibilities are endless. No more bribery.
It's amazing that the Gentile mind is so screwed up, but it's easy to see it in this arena. Some of it's very easy to see. I assume by assumption that if this is fucked up through the whole thing.
There's no thing that has overtaken you that isn't common at all.
God, this arena is just crystal clear.
Yeah.
Black and white.
It's like it's magnified or something.
I mean, you see that, you see how deceived it is and what the flip side could be.
And the flip side is the joy of resurrection.
Makes you wonder, I mean, face whether or not you're really a Sadducee or, you know, when you face that emptiness, and is there resurrection now in the place or... Because that's what fantasy always tries to get in the way of.
The thing of eating the flesh, I kind of vaguely understand without really being able to feel. But when you were talking, you know, it's like I saw this thing about merchandising. You know, it's like you go to the grocery store and you squeeze the apples and the oranges, you know, make sure you get the one you want, you know. Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm...
Harry.
I'm sorry.
He's not sorry.
This is not Harry.
You're smart, John. Anyway, the thing is, though, is, you know, it's like, it's the mind of the whore. You sell yourself for, you know, for a feeling.
Actually, the whole thing is this just dust, everything that's related to the high place, little high place trade-offs that go on.
Does he have features anymore?
What?
I'm talking about hog features or something.
Oh.
You know, what's bizarre about this is what's trade-offs. Happened to this point of, I never would have thought about fantasizing, but at one point we talked about, go ahead and fantasize. And I never would have, because it never would have been exposed. I mean, it was always there, and I know that, those fantasies. But I'd never come to grips with them if there hadn't been the place where it was, okay, go ahead and fantasize. And now, to see that it is the thing that is the antithesis of the mystery, you know, I can't pull back from already having, you know, been exposed in it.
That's what I want. That's what I see. That's what we got to do is to take it to the take all these imagery, all of the imagery, to the point of its death.
You got to, you know, the way the process has happened though is that there was, you know, I was tricked into you know, and that, but that's the good thing because it otherwise. My religious nature would have never let me be exposed.
Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desire and enticed. Then when desire hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But, you know, religion reads that and says, oh my God, therefore you can't...
No massage problem.
But you got to take it to the freedom of knowing that you're tested when you're drawn away by your own desire. You're enticed. When desire hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Then out of that death comes the life of Christ. Resurrection. Now. No more Tammuz.
That carries over to everything like jobs, you know, or... Anything that you differentiate between what's good and what's bad.
Oh, no man anything but to love one another. Now this is the fruit. This will be the fruit of Passover. This is the first fruit of Passover. Oh, no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. That's why the Gentile mind can't understand that. It's impossible. You'd had to have experienced what we've gone through to be able to understand that. Because you'd hear that, your mind would automatically translate those words to conform to your high place activity. And what that does is it always excludes, you know, so that you can, you know, it's like half commandment religion or half scripture religion, which some of you were really good at. Hi, Gary. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that is, that now, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake totally out of the sleep. For now is salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off all the works of darkness, and put on the total armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, etc., 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 etc. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody understand?
We'll spend a lot of time understanding
this. Do you guys understand? You don't have to play the mind expectation games. You're getting married for our benefit.
Amen.
But you as a couple might show forth the mystery. Not because you got, you know, hormones are active or not active. What are you smiling at?
Me?
No.
Harry,
Harry looks like he just ate a canary.
I feel like you're just
ate a canary. Blessings. But actually, any hard work.
But I'm convinced, more than anything that I, more than life itself, that God has delivered unto us the full counsel of God. That to us it's been given to know all of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And thus far, we have not been very good stewards of the mystery. Most of you have buried the mystery as the unfaithful servant because you're afraid you'd get it wrong. God now wants you to put forth the mystery and gain usury from it. If you remember the parable. There's no more excuse for keeping it within you. The testing of its validity is done. Now, this Passover, we'll celebrate your putting forth the mystery. There's no more walking timidly. There's no more excuse for not beginning to freely give what you have freely received in every arena, in every corner of your world. So, Lord, prepare us for Passover.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody take the bread and the wine. As often as you eat this bread, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, or show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. See, the problem with that is that the more we understand, the more guilty it's possible for you to be. I mean, you know, you used to go through life thinking, oh my God, I feel guilty. I mean, we're you're about to the point where either you have to take on the whole world or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you step back into guilt, I mean, you got to take it all on. You know, when Tara does, now take on the Contras and the Sandinistas. Now take on the war in Afghanistan. Now, take on. I mean, you gotta go. You gotta take it all on or nothing. You eat of the Lord. You let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself or herself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to drink damnation to myself. I don't want to eat damnation to myself. That's pretty stupid. I mean, I'm not going to touch it. If you're eating it, the bread, or drinking the wine unworthily, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself.
Perhaps the definition of eating and drinking unworthily is called for.
I think I'll just leave it like that. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many are dead. Not discerning the Lord's body, eating and drinking unworthily. Now, if we go down the street, they'll say, okay, that means you have unconfessed secret sin in your life, and you have to search it out when it says examine yourself before you can eat of the and drink of this and eat of this. Well, again, if we played that game,
never.
I would. I mean,
that's exactly.
The point of it is that we don't want to deny the Lord that has purchased us. And so whatever our situation is, it doesn't matter to the Lord. At this instant, this is our mini Passover. And this is the afkamen. This is what we do. And you can't eat of this bread or drink of this cup until you are sated. Yeah. Until you're fed up with everything else in the world, you can't eat of this or drink of this. Because if you're not fed up with everything else, you will look at the other else's that could be instead of discerning the Lord's body. Or you'd look at your own inadequacies instead of discerning the Lord's body.
Right.
Jeez, I thought about it'd be like leaving the Passover to go to the Red Sea, to cross over, to go looking for a place, and you'd die because you'd be out in Egypt.
Yeah.
He's got to take care of the Red Sea here and get to it. But tonight is the night that we have to be in the.
The scriptures say, I've been studying the doctrine of Balaam, and the. Balaam's ass speaking. Balaam had a talking ass.
Is this going to be part of your autobiography?
What?
You're talking about.
But in one of the prophecies of Balaam, he correctly speaks the words of the Lord, and he said that Israel shall not be counted among the nations of the world. Now that's weird. You understand? When it says that all nations are as the dust, or they're nothing more than a drop in a bucket. It doesn't even, I mean, it's like, Israel isn't counted among the nations of the world. The word Barbara, you know what Barbara means? Now, Barbara means, literally, it means a foreigner, but it means to Israel, anyone that wasn't of Israel was a barbarian, but the word is Barbara.
Son of a...
Huh?
Bar... Mm-mm. No, that's different.
Different word. But anyway, Barbara is not counted among the nations. I mean, we are aliens in a bizarre land.
Yeah.
There is no place, there's no rest, there's no home.
Amen.
I mean, don't you see that God, every time you've tried to make alliances with the world, that God has whacked your pee-pee? Some of you got pretty bruised up pee-pee.
Yeah. That
would explain
that.
Developed calluses.
I'm reluctant to pull that.
Examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What do you examine yourself? Know you not that God is in you? Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you? What do you examine yourself about? Is there any place where you can't discern the Lord's body? Is there any place where you are still looking to the world system? Is there any place where you're still trusting in your own devices? Is there any place? Is there anyone whom you haven't forgiven? Is there anyone who has aught against you and the brethren? Do you have aught against anyone? I mean, these are the issues that you examine prior to Passover. And symbolically, then, they're the issues that you examine prior to eating the bread. I choose to discern the Lord's body.
Amen.
On the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and blessed it, saying,
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth.
Now, he's bringing forth the bread of life from you as an earthen vessel. But the only reason he's bringing the bread of life forth from you as an earthen vessel, I mean, it's not, if you retain the showbread longer than a week, you are in violation.
What's showbread?
Well, that's the bread.
Oh.
It's the bread of the temple. It's the showbread. You couldn't retain it. I mean, the reason some of the, you understand? He's bringing forth bread from the earth so that you can feed those around you. You just passed under the rod. When you passed under the rod, the instructions were given about the gleanings of the field. And the instructions for meeting the needs of the widows and the orphans and the poor around about you. Well, this is what you meet the needs with. It's the bringing forth the bread of life from you as an earthen vessel to feed the poor and the strangers and the widows and the orphans round about you. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. You now are a participant of the covenant of God. Test it. Prove it. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Mm. Great matzo.
It's great. I like it.
Beats the hell out of Tam Tam.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad.
I find this great scripture, I mean, dealing in Midrash, about the inner calculate, I can't pronounce that word. The month that they have to add a month seven times every 21, I mean every 19 years, in order to make years come out right, because the Israeli calendar is a lunar calendar. The nations have a solar calendar, because they depend on the light of this natural to see. But anyway, before they can do that, every time the Sanhedrin had to meet. And they had to declare that time was redeemed in order that they could add another month to the calendar. Now, the only reason they added a month to the calendar was so the festivals would come in their proper times during the year. You know, otherwise they'd be selling Passover in the middle of winter, celebrating Passover in the middle of winter, and you'd miss the emotionalism of watching the
first fruits.
But these feasts are your only reason for living. It's your way of redeeming the time. It's your way of making that which you do holy. Passover is the beginning. None of the other feasts can be celebrated until you celebrate Passover in knowledge. He took the cup and he gave thanks, saying,
"Blessed be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine."
And he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you, for the remission of sin." Doesn't matter what yesterday was, it doesn't matter what 3 seconds ago was, it doesn't matter what 1 nanosecond ago was. At this instant, your past is forgiven as far as the east is from the west, and you are sustained by the bread you just ate from all points in the future. And you're cut off from the past and made worthy for the future with the blood of the Lamb. Life. Anybody have anything else? Think on these things, especially what I said tonight about relationships. Prepare yourself for Passover.
Amen.
Start searching for the leaven. There's three leavens that you're searching for. Leaven of Herod, which is seeing any lack. And it must be destroyed instantly. It's not to be considered, it's to be destroyed. No leaven of Herod, no lack. I can't see lack, period. The leaven of the Sadducees, which is, I don't believe he's resurrected, or if he's resurrected, it's sometime in the future. And the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Having something inside you that isn't externalized. Those three leavens have to be destroyed by next Saturday.